Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. Lord, I pray now the Holy Spirit will be our guide, our teacher, our instructor. God, I ask you to minister, to reprove, rebuke, edify, strengthen. Lord, whatever's needed, you know our hearts, you know the need. I pray you'll meet that need tonight. Should there be one lost, I pray you'll convict them, show them their need of Jesus Christ today. Lord, I pray you'll save them, give them assurance, and I pray tonight, Lord, whatever the need is of the heart, you'll meet that need. Lord, I pray more than anything else, Jesus Christ will be exalted and lifted up. More than anything, God, I pray we'll get a fresh view of him. Lord, it'll stir our hearts to want to be good servants for you. Thank you now again for your many blessings. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Apostle Paul said, and so we preach. If you will, turn to Psalm 34, and I'm going to preach a little while, try to, and hope I can be a help to you and a blessing. Try to give you something from the Word of God that'll strengthen you and encourage you to go on. We get closer and closer to the Lord come. The days are getting worse and rougher and perilous times. Scripture warns us of that. And so it's important we put the whole armor of God on and stand. In this psalm, David, of course, anointed king, and yet Saul's on the throne, and David running for his life from Saul. And he winds up in the hometown of Goliath, whom he came to prominence by killing in battle. And it's probably not a good place to be located. If you're a soldier and you've slew their champion, they're probably not going to welcome you with open arms. So David is down there, and he fears for his life, and he pretends to be mad. He scribbles on the wall and has slobber running down his beard, and the king says, well, I don't need a madman. Why'd you bring this guy in here for? He's crazy. And so David evidently is in distress. And so I hope tonight to encourage you. If your day of distress has not yet come, I promise you it will. And if it has, then certainly you may have some encouraging words for somebody else. If you can see how the Lord will lead you and guide you and deliver you in that day of distress. But let's read a few verses and then I'll get into this. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I believe that's good practice. Those first three verses give us a whole load of information about how we ought to react toward God every day. I mean, if you look at it, he said, I'll bless the Lord at all times, his praise continually in my mouth. He said, my soul shall boast of the Lord, the humble shall hear and be glad. Magnify the Lord, let us exalt his name together. I believe that's good practice for every one of us. And it's not just here in church, it's wherever we're at. I mean, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I believe if you're saved, you ought to say so. I mean, on the job, at work, at the grocery store, I don't care wherever you're at. That's a good place. Just praise God and lift him up and magnify him. You're going to hear all kinds of junk and garbage and worldly music. Everywhere you go nowadays, got a television set. You can't sit down in a waiting room of a doctor's office without seeing a bunch of garbage, stuff you ain't interested in anyhow. And so I believe it's just a good time to praise God anytime. But David, when he realized how God could and would and did deliver him, he just felt like praising God. And there are times when I just get excited and I feel like praising God, and I don't care whether anybody appreciates it or not, I appreciate it. I get up here by the red light and get to preaching about every Friday, and I just have me a time. And nobody else may not get anything out of it. I just enjoy it. It does wonders for me personally. I like to get out like that and just brag on Jesus Christ. It puts down the flesh, and it does something spiritual that normally you don't do. But now notice what he said. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And I'm going to preach tonight, and the Lord heard him. And so I'm referring to that day of distress, and I hope, should it come, you remember some of these thoughts tonight that I hope will be an encouragement to you. But David was in a mess, and he needed help. And there are times when we get in a mess and we need help. You get that phone call in the middle of the night, a tragedy. You get that report from the doctor that's not good. May even be terminal. There's all kinds of tragedies and distressful situations that come our way in life, and it's part of life. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, you got to anchor the soul that whatever comes your way, you can have a peace that passes all understanding. Man, you can get stirred up in here and just praise God anyhow. So David was in a mess. But I want to look at just a few things. In our day of distress, let me say first of all that I'm glad that we have a living God that can hear. You think about it. Wouldn't it be terrible if when you had these kind of troubles that you went to some idol or some statue or some shrine like Mecca, or you went to the grave of some, you know, supposed saint like Muhammad or Buddha or even a pope? Wouldn't it be terrible if that was all the hope you had, was to go to one of those places and try to find some kind of help when you got that phone call? Wouldn't that be a terrible situation? But I'm glad, thank God, tonight we have a living God and a living hope. I'm glad when this poor man cried, the Lord heard him. 36 years ago, I was in a terrible mess. I was hooked on dope. I was hooked on the bottle. People say there's no hope today. I tell you, there is hope. I've bowed my knee. I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. He got me off dope. He got me off the bottle. I've been clean for 36 years. Hey, I've been happy as a dead pig in the sun. I don't need a pain clinic. I don't need painkillers. I don't need some doctor to shoot me up. I don't need a needle. I don't need it. I've got the Holy Ghost of God indwelling my body. I've got something real. God put it right down inside me where I can't lose it. And what we're missing today, people don't know the living God. Amen. He is alive. I don't care what the world thinks about it. He is alive. And I'm glad when we have that situation, we have a living God that can hear. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. I'm glad I got somebody up there listening. Jesus Christ said, our God, He's not the God of the dead, but He's the God of the living. Tonight we have a living hope. I'm glad I don't have to go to some spook in a Halloween costume and confess in a box through a knot hole anything. I have a great high priest seated at the right hand of God the Father that ever lives to make intercession for me. And I can go boldly to the throne of grace anytime and find grace and mercy to help when I need it. And bless God, I need it. I need it every day. I don't know about you, but I need it. When I go to the job, I need it. I go home, I need it. I don't care where I go, I need the grace of God. And I'm glad, thank God, we got a living hope and a living Savior, a living God. I'm thankful we don't have a mummy for a Savior. Wouldn't it be terrible if they brought our Savior out and paraded His bones up and down the street? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? I mean, that happens. Wouldn't it be something if you were a Mormon and the only hope you had was a tombstone with Joe Smith's name on it? I mean, you think about that. I mean, that's pitiful. But I'm glad tonight when they went to seek the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the announcement was made. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but He's risen. As He said, them Pharisees said, show us a sign. And hey, they required a sign. They ought to have had one. And Jesus Christ said, I'll give you one. Destroy this temple. He said, in 3 days I'll raise it again. Amen. And they said, well, this temple took 46 years to build. You're going to raise it in 3. They knew what He's talking about. You go to Matthew 26. When He died, they went to Pilate and they said, this deceiver said He'd get up. They knew what He was talking about. They were liars and hypocrites. He said they were.
Amen.
Best news this world ever got came from a graveyard. But I preached the funeral of somebody saved. As sad as it is, I can walk away saying, you can't keep them. You can't keep them. You can't keep them. One of these days, the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, hey, we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And bless God, we'll all go up to meet the Lord in the air. That's the blessed hope. It's what I look for every day. I long for it. As I get older, and I soon be 60. I can't imagine. I never thought to live this long, but I mean, if natural course of things go the way they're going, I ain't got a long time left. I pray every day, Lord, hurry. Come on, I'm ready to fly. If I have to go by way of the grave, I will. Before this thing you're looking at gets cold, I'll be kicking up gold dust. Yes, sir, I'll be absent from this body and I'll be present with the Lord. But I'm glad tonight we don't have a mummy for a Savior. One of the problems Israel had, they had forsaken God, he said, the fountain of living waters. And since he's the fountain of living waters, he's the continuous source of our strength. He's the origin, the beginning of our strength. He's the continuous source of our strength. He's that continual flow of living water through the Holy Ghost that indwells us. Jesus Christ stood and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's where it's at tonight, folks. That's what people are missing. They think they can drown their troubles in painkillers. They think they can drown it in Bud, what don't make you wiser. They can't soak it in Jack Daniels. You can't drink enough of that stuff to get rid of your problem. All you can do is compound them. You can make it worse. You'll do things when you're stoned you wouldn't when you're sober. You'll break into somebody's house. You'll steal from people that love you. You'll break the heart of everybody that cares for you. You'll do things that God knows you wouldn't have done had you been sober. I'm telling you, you get saved, you'll begin to do crazy things. You'll read your Bible. You'll go to church. You'll begin to witness. You'll get concerned about folks. You'll pray for them. Hey, you'll want to quit all that wicked stuff. He is the fountain of living waters. That's where it's at. That's what the world don't have. That's what they'd like to have, but they can't get their hands on it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. The just shall live by faith. You have to come to Jesus Christ by faith. And that's the only way you can get in on it. But this waters, this living waters, it's available to any sinner. Not just certain ones. It's available to any sinner. The Bible declares that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And let him take the waters of life freely. Have you drank from them? Oh, you're sitting here tonight. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you drank from the well that never runs dry? That living water. Boy, I tell you, it flows freely from Calvary's mount. I love that old song, there's a fountain filled with blood. I love it. I don't care. It may have some Calvinistic ringings to it, but so what? What didn't from that time period? I know this. It's a sight better than some of this modern rock and roll God forsaken stuff they call gospel.
Amen.
I just threw that in there. It ain't got nothing to do with the message, really. you just, well, smile. It'll get better one of these days. Are you thirsty? Oh, I tell you where you can satisfy your thirst. There's a fountain. There's a lady came to a well one day to draw some water. And she ran head on into Jesus Christ. And he said, well, I've got some living water. If you knew who it was that was speaking to you, I could give you living water. And she said, well, you ain't got anything to draw with. I mean, where are you going to get this living water at? From whence cometh it? And he said, listen, lady, it's like this. If you drink from this well, you're going to have some living water that you'll never thirst again. Boy, isn't that something? Honestly, folks, you get born again, you get plugged in, and that living water, I'm telling you, the world has nothing to compare to it. Do you have it tonight? Oh, I'm telling you, do you know what I'm talking about? If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Now, I do. I can't speak for anybody but myself. But I know, should I die, I would step out of this body and across the threshold of glory, and I'd be having me one more some kind of a time. Now, I'm speaking for myself. But I know what men are thirsty for. Psalm 42 tells us. They thirst for the living God. That's what they're thirsty for. The living God. Well, if you're going to drink from a fountain, If you are, you need something to drink with. The Bible says this, Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Boy, I took the cup of salvation and I drank deep from the well that never runs dry. And I'm telling you, the Lord changed my life completely. And I ain't ever been the same. And I can't explain it any better than to say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You need that cup of salvation. And it only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the living water. The Bible declares, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Him was life. That's where it's at. Man, the world's running everywhere trying to find a new Savior. Whether it be Herman Cain or Mitt Romney or Barack Bin Laden or whoever. I mean, I don't know who the world's in favor of. But they think that's going to be their salvation. Now, I'm telling you, you look in the wrong direction. I'm going to vote. I'm going to do my best to be an American. But I know this. My real hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't nowhere else. He's the one that I look forward to. A few years ago, I ran head on into Him, and I got a new birth. And when I got that new birth, I also got a new life, and I got a new family, and I got new friends, and I got a new future. And I mean, I got a new father, and I'm telling you, ain't nothing ever been the same. Nothing. It just don't get no better. Well, till the Lord comes. Then it'll get better. Are you ready? Over in Moscow, believe it or not, in Red Square, there lies a tomb, a casket, a crystal casket with Lenin's remains embalmed in it. And on top of this casket is written, "He was the greatest leader of all peoples, of all countries, of all times. He was the Lord of the new humanity. He was the Savior of the world." Everything in the past tense. Because he died and they buried him and he stayed dead. Right. But of Jesus Christ, he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." Now that's it. He's proven to be alive by many infallible proofs. I have no doubt in my mind he's alive. The reason I know him. Man, I'm telling you, 36 years ago when I bowed my knee, I got plugged in. I found out that God is the living God. He's not a mummy. He's not a myth. He's not some figment of somebody's imagination. But he's real, and you can get in contact with him. Any sinner. Boy, what a blessing. Well, I'm glad we got a living God that can hear. I'm glad we don't have a money for a Savior. I want to say again, I'm glad in that day of distress that He's a God at hand as well as a God afar off. I mean, you read what David said. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and He saved him out of all of his troubles. He goes on to say this, "The eyes of the Lord are open upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their cry." I'm glad He can hear. I'm glad that He's not just a God at hand. I mean, the Bible declares the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and the good. I'm glad that He's available in the time of trouble. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." We can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." God says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in the secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and the earth? Saith the Lord." I'm glad He's a God at hand as well as a God afar off. It don't matter if I'm in Ohio or Florida or Cuba or it don't matter where I'm at. I can get in contact with the living God. Brother, He's available. And I'll tell you right now, in this nation, He's still available. I mean, America ain't gone down the tubes yet. I mean, I ain't give up. There's still a possibility of revival. I mean, we could hold this thing off. I mean, who knows? I'd just soon see the Lord come, but I mean, if we could all get fired up and get doing something for God, who knows how many folks we might see saved before we get out of here. I mean, really, we ought to be about the Father's business till the door closes. And I mean, as long as there's a crack in it, we ought to be involved in doing something for Him. But He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You think about that. He went through every kind of temptation you're going to face, and He didn't give in to it. And the Bible tells us that are saved, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God says, I just can't quit. You can too. God says you can. I don't say it's easy, but it's possible. If God said you can, you can. How do you do it? You reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6. Well, the dead man don't have any problem with sin, does he? I mean, go out here at the graveyard. Them folks ain't got any problem with sin. They're dead. And if I reckon my flesh to be dead indeed unto sin, but my new man, I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ, and I walk in the Spirit feeding this new man, I can overcome bad habits, sin, you call it whatever you want, but it can be overcome. Amen. It is possible. And I mean, we just give up before we even try. I mean, there's some struggling sometimes to overcome some of them bad habits. I was reading about David Peacock quit smoking. I mean, he said he smoked for years, and when he quit, he said he knew he had to have something to replace it. So what he did was he kept chewing gum in his pocket. And every time he wanted a cigarette, he'd get chewing gum. And he said after a while, he got to where he didn't want one anymore, and he just quit. Now, I mean, there's different ways, I guess, for different folks, but it is possible to overcome sin. Yes. As a believer. I think too many times we just throw the towel in and quit before we ever get started. But I'm glad He knows your name and knows your address too. Isn't that something? The Creator, God Himself, knows my name and knows my address. Well, what a blessing. I mean, it don't matter if the president don't know me. I'll never meet the president. He don't know me. I mean, I preached in front of the White House. He didn't hear me, and he don't know me. He could care less. I mean, you think about it. The living God, the judge of all, knows my name and knows my address too. Well, you pardon me. I might have to go outside and just shout a while. What a blessing. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ was crucified, there was a garden right near the place where He was crucified. I've always wondered about that. Now, the thought struck me today, maybe that garden was put there before they began, I mean, Roman occupation, began to crucify people in that area. I don't know. But it always struck me as odd that there was a beautiful garden right in a place where there was so much torture and death. And you know, right in the middle of the garden spot of your life, there may be a sepulcher. Boy, it happens. You better believe it does. But right there in that beautiful garden, the Rose of Sharon was planted. And 3 days later, He came forth as the lily of the valleys, altogether lovely. And thank God He's alive and He lives forevermore. And you and I have the ministry of reconciliation. We can stand in Christ's stead, beseeching men to come to Jesus Christ. What a privilege today. And we're misusing it and abusing it and not using it. We ought to open our mouth for Jesus Christ. He took it for us. We ought to take it for Him. The Bible says we ought to go out without the camp bearing His reproach. What's it ever cost you to serve Jesus Christ? What's it ever cost you? People make fun of you. People lie about you, mock you, make jokes about you. So what? Look how they treated Him. We can take a little, surely. Well, I tell you, I'm glad it says the lily of the valleys in the plural. There are a lot more valleys than they are mountaintops in this life, I'll tell you. But I'm telling you, when you get in that valley and it looks like there's no hope, This poor man can cry and the Lord will hear him and save him out of all his trouble. Boy, what a blessing. You pardon me. I'm going to have to go outside and shout a while. It's just too good. Maybe you don't get emotional. I probably shouldn't, but I can't help myself. Just too good. I mean, honestly, folks, before I was saved, I've sat up in these beer joints and sang along karaoke with these drunken bums, sang them old beer-drinking songs, and make a fool out of yourself, stay up all night shooting pool and drinking beer and acting like a monkey. Now, what's it going to hurt me to make a fool out of myself for Jesus Christ? I mean, he's been a lot better than me and the devil ever thought about. Now, some of you have some real talent. You ought to use it. Some of y'all can sing. I know you can. I've heard you. And you do a good job, and God uses it. And you ought to do it. I don't care if you ain't got no talent. You ought to do it anyhow. I've been trying to get Terry Bowles to sing with me. Me and him's going to sing a special. We're going to sing Drop Kick Me Jesus Through the Gold Post of Life. That used to be a real song, incidentally, folks, honestly. Now, I'm only joking. You understand that. Hey, I mean, you can have a little fun. You can smile. It won't hurt you. It takes a lot less muscles to smile than it does to frown. But the truth is, Jesus Christ is alive and he lives forevermore. The Bible says this, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm seated together in Christ in heavenly places, and I make no bones about it, I'm just good in heaven with the door shut. Now if you ain't sure that's your problem, I'm absolutely 100% certain that I'm saved. I'm 100% absolutely sure that I'm sealed by the Spirit of God to the day of redemption. I'm going up. I don't care what anybody else does. Brother, I am going up. Now, if you don't know, you can find out. But I promise you, this thing is real. I'm glad tonight we don't have a monkey for a mother. Amen? You imagine David in the mess he was in, having to go down to Bethlehem to the zoo and take a banana and say, Mama, I need some help. I mean, honestly, folks, I knew my mom and dad, neither one of them were monkeys. I didn't come from a monkey. Amen. Now, if you think you did, free country. You believe whatever you want. But I know this, when you die, you'll go where the good monkeys go, and when I die, I'll go where the saved sinners go. Amen, that's right. I didn't have a monkey for a mother. No, sir. God was manifest in the flesh. I got in contact with the living God. I didn't evolve from nothing. No, sir. Jesus Christ is real. Do you know him tonight? I do know this for a fact. Some of my relatives hung by their neck. None of them hung by their tail. No, sir. And some of Dilbert's relatives actually hung some of my relatives by their neck. And we're feuding. I don't know if he remembers it or not. Me and him's feuding. But you think about it, folks. 6,000 years of human history, there's not one example of evolution, and there's not one instance of a monkey giving birth to a human or vice versa. We didn't come from a monkey. I don't know why anybody think they did. You got the same 14 chemical elements in your body that's in the ground. When you have to eat something, come from the ground to stay alive. And when you die, you turn to the dust, like the Bible says. I don't know why you think you came from anywhere else. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's how we got here. It didn't come from nothing. I mean, takes all kinds. I read Sir Isaac Newton one time. He made a replica of this solar system. I mean, intricate, real, I mean, amazing thing to look at. And one day a young man came into his study there where he had it, and this young man was an evolutionist, and he saw this replica of the solar system. And he looked at that, and he asked Newton, he said, who made this thing? And he said, nobody. It just appeared. And he said, "Why, you think I'm a fool?" He said, "I know better than that." He said, "Whoever made that was a genius." And Newton looked at him and said this. He said, "Well, this thing is a puny imitation of a grander system by whose laws you and I know, and you believe I made this model. You believe that. Yet you profess the great original that it was designed after has come into being without a designer or a maker." He said, "Now you tell me, by what reasoning do you reach such a conclusion?" And the young man just kind of dropped his head and left. But isn't that, I mean, you look anywhere you want to look, you're going to see God. How great thou art. I love that song too. I mean, I'm telling you, you sing that, I might run through this wall if it's possible. I love that song, man. You get out here, I mean, you just walk down the country, you're going to see God everywhere you look. I mean, this thing, I mean, with a curse on it, it's still an amazing thing. I mean, if you took the Blue Ridge Parkway when the leaves were turning, you talk about something that'd knock your eyes out, boy. I mean, the colors, there's no artist in the world can paint that. But I mean, when God puts on the shade, man, I'm telling you, there's no artist that ever lived could paint it like God can. And the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Well, I'm glad we don't have a monkey for a mother tonight. Amen. Now, I'm going to close on this. I could preach all night. I like to preach. I enjoy it. I do. You may not get a thing out of it, but it's helping me immensely. Amen. So you bear with me. But I'm going to say thirdly, and then I'll quit after this. I'm glad that he's a present help in time of need. Yes, sir. It's not just the fact you can get in contact. He actually can do something. Yes, now, when it comes to salvation, if you've never been saved here tonight, I can tell you how to get saved. I can take this Bible and show you how to get saved. And I'm telling you, it works. I tried it. He said, "This poor man cried. The Lord heard him, saved him out of all of his troubles." And then he offers an invitation. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." If you don't believe God will do what he said he'll do, try him out. People all the time. I was talking to a fellow over here. I was teaching a class over here in the jail a couple of weeks ago. And this fellow, I mean, he said, "Well, I'm Pentecostal." And I said, "Well, it don't matter. Salvation's not a denomination." I said, "Hey, one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. I mean, the Baptist church ain't got no monopoly on it. The Pentecostals don't either, folks. I'm telling you, it's not a denomination. Salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone." Yeah, I mean, ain't nothing else will get the job done. And this young fellow, well, he was trying to correct my theology. He said, "Well, I believe this and that." And I said, "Well, how many times you read the Bible?" He said, "Well, I ain't ever read it." And I said, "Well, think about this. I'm sitting here giving you chapter and verse for everything I'm teaching, and you're sitting here telling me I'm wrong, but you can't show me even one verse in a Bible." And I said, "How stupid is that?" And he just looked at me like a tree full of owls. But think about it. That's the way the world is. People say, "Well, I just believe you got to live it." Well, what does the Bible say? "Well, I can't live it." Well, what does the Bible say? I mean, really. People got all these ideas. They've heard somebody else say it, and it sounds good, so they repeat it, and then it sounds even better, and they think somehow it's going to justify them before God. But think about it. If you've never read it, if you've never taken God at his invitation, how do you know whether it'll work or whether it won't? He said, "Taste and see." I read about a fellow one time just got saved. He used to be the town drunk. I knew a fellow here in Scott County was a town drunk for 37 years. And that guy got saved and quit drinking and cleaned up. And I mean, the guy lived right and done right. I mean, he didn't know a lot. He was pretty simple. But I'm telling you, God used him. I liked the old boy. I did. I loved to be around him. He just had the zeal of God. He didn't know much. Man, he had fire, though. He'd tackle a circle saw if he could. I mean, he just didn't, you know, I mean, new converts usually are that way. They'd tackle a hornet's nest or something. I mean, they don't know much, but they're ready. And this guy, I mean, he just got all cleaned up. And I mean, it's just amazing what God did for him. Well, this fellow was town drunk, and he got saved. And there was a evolutionist giving a lecture, so he went to it. And the guy got up, and he talked about, well, you can't know God, and you know, and he went through all of his big spiel, how there's no God and this and that, and you can't know. And so this drunk comes up. He don't know anything about the Bible. And he's got an orange. And he peels this orange. And this guy's sitting there, and he's taking questions. He said, "Well, what's your question, sir?" And he don't answer. He just keeps peeling this orange. And the guy said, "Well, what's your question, buddy?" So he finally, when he gets done, he just eats it. And the guy says, "Listen, buddy, I ain't got time to waste. Do you have a question or don't you?" And he looked at the guy, and he said, "Well," he said, "how did that orange taste?" And the guy said, "Well, you fool, how would I know? You the one ate it." And he said, "All right, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good." He said, "If you ain't ever tried it, how do you know it?" That's pretty good wisdom for a fellow that just got saved. I mean, really. But you know what? If you're saved and your heart's right, God will use you in spite of you.
Amen.
I promise you, I've made every kind of mistake that can possibly be made. When I got saved, that guy back there, Donald Cook, me and him was working the mines together. And man, we was going out in the street and preaching, and we didn't even know God was going to call us to preach. We were just glad to be saved. But man, we've seen people saved in the coal mines. We've seen them saved on the hood of their car, sitting right out here at Oak Grove, sitting around at night doing nothing. We walked right in the middle of about 75, a group one night, having a fist fight, a bunch of girls fist fighting. We all kinds of situations. And God, I mean, I didn't have a clue what I was trying to accomplish, but I knew I was saved, and I knew God could save somebody else, and I knew it was too good to keep to myself, and I just took it to the street. I went in a beer joint and passed out gospel tracts and witnessed everybody in there. I didn't have any idea you wasn't supposed to do stuff like that. Nobody told me you wasn't supposed to preach to a bunch of drunks. I know this, before I was saved, if somebody walked in a beer joint and handed me a gospel tract, I'd have swallowed a beer bottle.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had any idea how to react to something like that. It ain't been long ago, me and Al Hearn went in a bar up here in Winfield, passed out tracts and breathed. What a blessing, man. I like it. You'd be surprised how respectful those people were. You'd be surprised. They did appreciate somebody being concerned about their soul. How long's it been since you just looked somebody in the eye and said, "Man, Lord Jesus Christ loves you and died for you, and he's willing to save you, won't you?" How long's it been since you really just got personal with somebody? Why, man, I started back over here preaching in the jail, and I hadn't been in there 3 weeks and had 3 people saved already. And I really went in there with a bad attitude. I was kind of like Jonah. I was hoping God would go ahead and judge them. And Lord just saved them anyhow. It don't depend on me. It don't depend on you. Brother, if you're willing and available, God will use you. Amen. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him. When it comes to salvation, God is available. When it comes to help, if you're saved, God's available. The Lord heard David's cry for mercy, and he saved him out of all his troubles. He was in a bad situation. He was in serious danger of losing his life, and God delivered him. And ultimately, he wound up on the throne like God had promised. But David, I got to read this. I know I've said I'd quit, and I'm fixing to. David said this: "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." The best thing you got going for you is what God done for you. You got 5 recorded messages in the book of Acts that Paul preached, and out of 5 of them, 3 of them's his personal testimony on how he got saved. So there must be something to it. Now, you can tell a sinner how God saved you and what he's done for you. Why, man, my cup just runs over. Really. I look back over the last 36 years, and I don't know why God has been so good to me. I mean, honestly, I don't know why. But I mean, if I sat out here and count my blessings, I'd be here the rest of the night. I mean, God has just been so good to me. My cup just runs over. It ought to just run over to the point where you just want to praise God and raise your hand and say, "Thank God I got saved." Why, some of you came from a religious background where you had so much religion, you was as religious as the Pope, and you were lost, and God saved you out of that mess. And some of you were raised in a good home and had good parents that taught you right and raised you right, and somewhere along the line, the Lord convicted you and you got saved. But man, what a blessing. I mean, you just saved anybody else. I mean, we give a hair-raising testimony. Sometimes you'd think if you don't have that kind of a testimony, you ain't saved. That ain't the way it is. Brother, I mean, the same God saves us all. Now, you may have been like me. My daddy was a drunk. He used to beat us and shoot at us. I mean, I had a pretty rough upbringing. I've lived a pretty rough life. I'm not proud of it. I've been in a lot of fist fights and barroom brawls, and I'm not proud of that either, but I've been there. I mean, you don't have to tell me a thing. I preach over here in the jail. I say, look, guys, they don't need to try to snow me. I used to be a dopehead. I used to be a drunk. I used to fist fight in the bars. I used to spend time in the jail cells. I've laid on the street in Gatlinburg, drunk all night, not even get picked up and took to jail. I mean, you know, I've had the treatment. I've had both sides of it. But I'm telling you, the last 36 years, when I tasted, I found out that the Lord is good. I found out that what I got from Him, nothing else in this world even begins to come close to compare to it. And the worst day I've ever had as a saved man, I mean, the best day I ever had as a lost man, can't come close to compare it. You pardon me, I'm going to have to take a running fit here in a minute. And if I do, just get out of the way and don't worry. I'm not lost my mind. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. I'm telling you, it just gets good sometimes. I don't understand people that can get excited about a ball game. They can get excited about a concert, or they can get excited about live wrestling or a soccer game or a tennis game or, God forbid, a golf game. And they can't come in here and get excited about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't know how many, anybody gets excited about golf. Now, if you're playing, you probably could. I mean, when you hit that thing and it goes over here, if some guy had the record for he threw his club the furthest after he made a bad shot, that'd be the kind of record I'd have. But the Lord heard David's cry for mercy, and He answered. God is accessible. Now, it's true, sin will hinder your prayers from being answered. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You got unconfessed sin, it's going to hurt your prayer life. You better believe it. First thing you need to do is go to God and get your sins confessed, get them out of the blood and get cleaned up. Then you can get down to business. The Lord granted David deliverance. And the results, I read it in the first three verses. He blessed the Lord. He praised the Lord. He magnified the Lord. That's the results. I mean, when God does something for you, folks, don't be afraid to give Him the glory and the credit for it. Because He's worthy.
Amen.
A missionary over in some foreign country was traveling to a village and got trapped by serious rains and flood, and him and his party looked like were about to all drown. I mean, there wasn't no way to cross this stream that had turned into a river, basically, and they couldn't go back. They were blocked in, nowhere to go. And so this missionary said, well, let's pray. And they all knelt down, began to pray, and while they were praying, they heard this tremendous crash and a huge big tree that had stood there for centuries fell over, crossed this creek, and made them the most dandy foot log you ever saw. And they just walked across that thing and went right onto the village and were all spared. And this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. I pray now the Holy Spirit will continue to speak to hearts, comfort, strengthen, encourage. Should there be one lost, Lord, show them their need of Jesus Christ tonight. And God, I pray whatever you do, we'll praise you. We'll lift you up, for you are worthy. It all depends on you. Lord, you're the one. We love you, and I pray if there's any way you can work it out, you'll come today. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm done. I'm not going to give an invitation. What I'm going to say is we're done. If you want to talk to me, if you need to get saved, you come around. I'll be glad to take a Bible and explain it. I can take this old black back book, and I can show you how to get saved, just like a fellow showed me. And it works. And that's the way we're going to close. Lord bless you. Have a good night.